Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to Unity Center of Light, another service coming from our home to your home. We always look forward to these days to do this. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pam Mosby.
And again, we're going to get started today with Pamela.
Good morning. Welcome to Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement together. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, November the 15th. The key word is kindness, and the affirmation is, I flow with divine love as I give and receive kindness. The word kindness triggers feelings of warmth, connection, and love in my heart. I smile as I recall ways that friends, family members, and others have shown me kindness. I feel again the gratitude and blessing I experienced in those moments. Gratitude, love, and a beautiful awareness of connection fill my heart and mind in a remarkably similar way when I remember kindnesses I've shared. The movement of electrons through a wire creates a current, a flow. As kindness moves from person to person, it creates a flow of divine love. Both giving and receiving are essential to this current of love. So I look for opportunities to share acts of kindness. I welcome with a grateful heart the kindness others share with me. And the scripture is Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? And now we will have the lesson with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, Hen. So we are continuing with this series, What's the Goal Here? And we're still trying to answer that question for ourselves. And just a warning, there's a lot of slides here today because there's some how-to stuff in it. And I do the slides also for those who like to go back and study. I think it makes it easier for you instead of you having to, you know, listen to the thing and try to transcribe what you're hearing. You can actually see the slide and makes it easy to study. But, you know, put a comment in the comment section or in the Zoom session. Just let me know if you, you know, like the slides or, you know, prefer to have them or not have them. But we're going to have a lot of them today. So, again, you know, what's the goal here? And as we say every week, in one way or another, you know, the goal is to awaken from the dream that we somehow feel we're separate from God and separate from the kingdom of heaven. That's always the goal we're striving for. And this false belief in separation is our greatest challenge, you know, so much of that we really don't even know how to really discuss it. You know, we intellectualize this idea that we are separate from God, but it, you know, it's just a discussion. We're trying to really understand this idea that we are one in God and God is one in us, that we are the individualization, the eachness of the allness. You know, again, that's our discussion, but how do we really, you know, come to an understanding of that? And the discussions, you know, we do have typically do not seem reasonable to our rational intellect. You know, in other words, when Jesus said, you know, do not worry about what you should eat, what you should wear, you know, again, that is not reasonable to our rational intellect. And so we're always trying to figure out ways to present it in a way, or for us individually to study it in a way that it'll start to make sense to our rational intellect. For example, if we look at this idea from the atom smashing power of mind, it says all persons in rare moments catch glimpses of this creative plan. But this subject of awakening is so deep and so far-reaching that it can only be realized in small degrees by those who developed spiritual insight and intuitive feelings into the spiritual realm. and who practice thinking in the fourth dimension, all right? So, you know, the fourth dimension being the transcendent realm, Jesus called the kingdom of heaven, what we refer to in previous lessons as the realm of divine ideas. So when you hear the idea, the concept, the kingdom of heaven, think about it as being the realm of divine ideas. And to explain further, the reasoning mind has to wait for divine ideas to enter into conscious awareness, all right? So, you know, when you say, yeah, I need to figure out how to do this, and you're waiting for the idea to come. See, you're waiting for the idea to come from the realm of divine ideas into your conscious awareness. But as mentioned in the previous slide, one who has developed spiritual insight and intuitive feelings in God awareness can actually enter into the fourth dimension or kingdom of heaven and access divine ideas directly. You get what I'm saying? So it's not a matter of waiting for the idea. Once you understand how to access the kingdom, the kingdom of heaven or the realm of divine ideas, you don't have to wait. You know how to tap right into that realm, all right? And according to the revealing word, the fourth dimension or kingdom of heaven is also known as realization. It is the doing away with time and space and all other restrictive conditions. The human mind, with its limited reasoning faculties, is bound by time and space and conditions and can get no further into the spiritual realm of divine ideas than intellectual reasoning is able to take it. Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying there. Know that we can't tap into that realm of divine ideas if our intellectual reasoning will not let us move into that realm. But when we become capable of moving beyond the limited realm of reason and enter into the realm of realization, then we have attained the consciousness of pure being, which is the fourth dimension or kingdom of heaven consciousness. Now, I know that's a mouthful, all right? And we're going to talk about it and explain more about this concept of the reasoning mind versus realization. Now, to explain this further, think of reason as being based on what is logical, practical, rational, right? Reason is three-dimensional in nature. Three-dimensional means you look out at the world, look out today, you know, today, and it's a, you make judgments, a beautiful day or it's not a beautiful day, you know, so you're looking at the realm of materiality or physicality when we talk about, you know, the three-dimensional realm. So reason will not allow you to think beyond what your state of mind can believe is possible and reasonable for you or in general. Okay. Thus, while you can intellectually say you believe the statement with God, all things are possible, you're only capable of believing it within the confines of your reasoning mind. And you may not even be aware of this limitation. So you'll say, oh, yeah, with God, all things are possible. But there's a limitation in your mind. Your mind has developed these limitations that said all things are possible within this realm that I can believe, okay? And as we said in last week's lesson, this limitation in your thinking is embedded in your prayers. So whatever, you know, regardless of what you may ask for in prayer, if what you ask for is outside of the realm of what you have come to believe is reasonable and possible for you, it will most likely not manifest in your life, all right? And that's one of those things you say, well, why aren't my prayers being answered? You need to ask yourself, how deeply do I believe it is possible for me to have the answer to the prayer I'm asking for, all right? And Jesus explained this in Mark 11:24. He said, therefore I say to you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believing that you have received it, it will be yours, okay? So again, if you cannot believe that what you pray for is possible, then your lack of belief can actually negate the process. However, realization is another idea. It's another concept, okay? Realization transcends the limitations of reason. Realization means at-one-ment, completion, perfection, wholeness. It is the dawning of truth in your consciousness, meaning it is the inner conviction in your knowing that your prayer has already been answered, even though there is no proof of outer manifestation. Okay, so to help us in this process of trying to decipher the difference between the mind based on reason and the mind based on realization. Let's take a moment to establish a working understanding of the contrast between truth, reality, and actuality. Okay. Now, first, we have made the conscious choice to learn how and what it means to walk the spiritual path. You know, if we've made that choice, you know, the conscious choice to learn how and what it means to walk the spiritual path, it also means we have willingly made the choice to surrender to the Holy Spirit correction needed to receive the understanding of the absolute nature of truth. Okay, so what I'm saying is we're saying, I want to grasp what this really means to live by truth. And you can feel that in your whole being that you truly want to understand what it means to live by truth. When you do that, you're also acknowledging a willingness to go through what we've been calling for the last 2 weeks, the Holy Spirit correction. Okay, and we make this choice, you know, knowing that this divine connection will cause us to die a little bit every day to our old way of being, our old self, making way for a new birth to take place in our consciousness. Okay, so all of that is what we need to comprehend that we are acknowledging when we say, I really want to understand what it means to live by truth. Okay, and many are moving through this, through life unconsciously, you know, without a clue as to the real purpose for being here. You know, again, our whole thing, what is our goal really here? And even after we've been introduced to truth teachings, we may still continue to walk through life unconscious of reality while still mesmerized by actuality. All right. Now, it's only by understanding the difference between what is real and what is actual that we can begin to awaken from the dream of fear and trials and tribulations. So before explaining the difference between real and actual, let me set the stage with Jesus' statement in John 8, 31, 32. You know this statement because I say it all the time. But I keep going over these verses because, remember, as you heard me say so often, there are seven levels of meaning in Scripture. Right? So just because we've heard it once doesn't mean we fully understand all that we can get out of it. All right. So this is the statement I want you to keep in mind. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. All right. Again, even though, you know, continuously referring to this statement may seem redundant, being mentally free of old fearful thinking is what we are seeking. All right. And the key to studying the teachings of Jesus is that once you can fully grasp the meaning in one of his teachings, it implants within you the cosmic code to understanding all of his teachings. It's sort of like the teachings in Luke 8, 42, where the woman had she was hemorrhaging for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone. And she came up behind Jesus and she, you know, pushed through the crowd. She pushed through the crowd and reached and touched the hem of his garment, the hem of his cloak. And immediately her hemorrhage stopped. So by touching Jesus, she fully got the mystical code for healing. All right? Meaning that if she could now understand that code, she could almost heal herself of anything. So one interpretation of this scripture is that the woman was considered unclean because of her condition, her health condition. All right? However, the metaphysical idea of this story is that we are all unclean because of our own individual unhealthy conditions. All right. Now, Scripture calls these unhealthy conditions sin. The revealing word explains that sin is our failure to express the loving, forgiving attributes of God in all of our interactions with each other. Now, again, to our reasoning mind, that doesn't seem practical because our reasoning mind can justify what we say, feel, and do that is not in alignment with the, you know, the attributes of God. And typically our reactions are, you know, often based on our own judgments and perceptions without any thought of the loving, forgiving attributes of God. So to further understand the story of the woman from a metaphysical perspective. The fact that she suffered for 12 years. All right, remember, numbers in the Bible always have some significance. And we all know the significance of 12. But in this case, 12 represents a readiness for spiritual fulfillment. All right, she was ready for spiritual fulfillment. Now, if you had a chance to talk to her, she'd probably say, I'm ready for healing. Okay, in other words, she was tired of the condition that she was in. And usually when we're at the end of our rope, so to speak, is when we turn to God, okay? And so when she reached through, she was ready for that spiritual fulfillment. And it refers to having, you know, developed a consciousness, this idea of 12, developing a consciousness that conforms with higher laws of obedience, okay? So she, you know, we actually get higher laws, how do I want to say this, placed into our consciousness all the time. The key is whether or not we have a consciousness that's ready to conform to these higher laws of obedience, all right? So a simplistic explanation is she was spiritually ready to be healed whether she knew it or not, okay? And the question we must continuously ask ourselves is, am I ready to be healed, all right? Now, you know, immediately the ego says, well, yes, I'm ready to be healed of this and that and so forth, you know? I don't know how many of you are spending a lot of time. This is a joke that came to my mind when I was walking. You know, there's so many things in life that I'm putting light around. You know what I'm talking about. Okay, you're putting light around it because you want it to be healed. You want it to be come out in the way that you wanted it to come out. And I thought to myself, I said, I put so much light around it. I'm wondering what my electric bill is going to look like. Pam was laughing in the corner. Right? And, you know, but this is a conscious choice that each truth seeker must contemplate. You know, so to help us, and you contemplate, now I don't want to jump past that. You have to contemplate whether or not you really are ready and willing to let go of all the stuff that you're fearful about, worry about, and so forth. All right. So to help us with this conscious choice, we're going to explore three steps or instructions we can follow to prepare ourselves for the healing that comes from touching the hem of Jesus' garment, okay? Now, I want to do three slides in a row on this, so I want you to bear with me. And again, I was debating whether or not I should put these into slides, but then when I thought about it, I want to put them into slides, so again, if you want to go back and study them, it'll be easy for you to do, okay? So, step number one, spend time contemplating Jesus, which means contemplating the I am directive power within you that can raise you to the consciousness of divine understanding and power, okay? And then, just as the woman, push through the crowd, you must, just as she pushed through the crowd, you must also push through the multitude of thoughts in your mind as you strive through prayer and meditation to get close to your indwelling Christ, okay? That's step number one. All right, let me just say it again, okay? So spend time contemplating Jesus, which means contemplating the I am directive power within you that can raise you to the consciousness of divine understanding and power. And then just as the woman pushed through the crowd, you must also push through the multitude of thoughts in your mind as you strive through prayer and meditation to get close to your indwelling Christ, okay? So the next slide is step number two. Reach out physically or mentally in your meditation time, you know, however you want to do it. Physically or mentally, reach out. Imagine that you're grasping hold of the wholeness of Christ, letting him stop the flow of fear and anger and unforgiveness in your heart. Welcome the power of the Holy Spirit into your mind, body, and spirit, and feel the power come up through your arm, your hand, your arm, and into your heart. Okay? Now, let me just say it again. So, you know, now these are actions that you're taking. Using your power of imagination, you're involved in these actions. You're reaching out physically or mentally in your meditation or prayer time, imagining that you are grasping hold of the wholeness of Christ, letting him stop the flow. Now remember, with the woman, he stopped, when the woman touched him, it stopped the flow of the hemorrhaging. And so we're sort of hemorrhaging fear and anger and unforgiveness. If it's any of that in your heart, you've got to let the Christ stop that. And then welcome the power of the Holy Spirit into your body, mind, and spirit, and feel the power coming through your hand, your arm, and into your heart. Okay? Now, step number three. Using your power of imagination, picture in your mind's eye this divine presence turning to you, glad to see you, saying your faith has made you well. The divine within you knows that when you take time to still your mind and heart to seek the Christ, you are doing so out of faith. So throughout the day, take time to close your eyes and imagine reaching out and grasping the robe of Christ and wrapping yourself in Christ's love. Okay. So that was a lot, right? That's why I wanted to put it up in slides, because I knew that was a lot, you know, to go through. So for this three-step process to work, we need to understand what Jesus meant when he said, if you continue in my word, okay? If you continue in my word, it means to move through our life experiences in a consciousness that always refers to reality for clarity and direction and how to respond to actuality. Maybe say that again, okay? So you want to move through, you know, your life experiences in a consciousness that always refers to reality for clarity and direction and how to respond to actuality. Now, okay, I know that was a little fuzzy, all right? So let's break that down, all right? So actuality, according to the dictionary, refers to conditions and circumstances that actually exist as fact, okay? While on the other hand, reality, according to the dictionary, is something that exists independently of all ideas concerning it and from which all things are created. It is existence that is absolute, self-sufficient, not subject to human decision or perception. Reality, in a sense, is how we attempt to define God. Okay? So, to repeat, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. A mind that is caught up in the illusion that actuality or facts are reality has little or no hope for freedom from the challenges of these facts that come up in your life. So it's almost another way of saying what we always say, that what's in the world really has no power over us, okay? It is not a reality. It is actuality. It is part of the dream that we are dreaming of being separate from God that has us experiencing these things that we're going through. And Jesus is saying you have to be able to separate truth from fact. Now, we will express the common saying, well, this is my reality. How many of you have said that or heard somebody say, well, this is just my reality, okay? When what it really is your actuality. So when people say this, well, this is just my reality, what they really mean is their actuality. The truth for you always exists beyond what you are actually experiencing. The truth for you always exists beyond what you are actually experiencing. And even if we, you know, solve the problem presented to us by the facts in our lives, if we continue to think, you know, because you say to yourself, well, you know, this is a fact. This is what's happening. But you come up with solutions to it. Okay? But because you keep thinking that it's a fact, and, you know, you think that fact is your reality, then you're doomed to repeat the pattern continuously, having to overcome this same type of thing over and over again, because to you, that's just the facts. Okay, facts themselves in this realm of actuality or materiality has no power of their own to continue to perpetuate themselves. These things we call facts cannot perpetuate themselves, all right? They are perpetuated by us believing in them, believing that they are our reality, when actually they are our actuality. Okay? So the things and conditions in our lives have continuity or permanence only through the conscious effort we give to sustain them. So the great difficulty, of course, the great difficulty to this idea of looking out at life and saying, well, that's a fact, but it's not the truth, okay, is that the challenges that come up, especially in these times now, you know, the challenges that COVID-19 makes, it seems impossible to hold a vision of reality or truth in the midst of this actuality. You get me? So COVID-19 and it's spreading like crazy is a fact, right? It's a material fact. So to say that it's not the truth, that it's not reality, is very difficult. That's what I'm talking about, because we are operating from a reasoning mind, a mind of logic. We are locked into those facts. Now, please also remember when we talk about COVID-19, that I remember right at the beginning, I used the Bible verse that Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and give unto God what is God's. So give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, if it gives respect to science, all right? Give respect to what the CDC is saying. Give respect to science. That's giving unto Caesar. Giving unto God what is God's is faith. You follow me? Okay. So we're not negating this world that we're in. Okay. We're understanding it's a fact and we're dealing with it as well as we can from our reasoning mind. But on the other hand, through this idea of realization, is that we are open to the idea of truth and faith and those kind of things happening in our lives. So simply, how do I behold the healing presence of God when I'm faced with such overwhelming facts? And, you know, as was explained in the opening slide, this subject of awakening is so deep and so far-reaching that it can only be realized in small degrees by those who have developed spiritual insight and intuitive feelings and who practice thinking in the fourth dimension, okay? So practicing thinking in the fourth dimension is, yes, COVID exists, but I am a child of God. I am going to respect the fact, but I'm going to embrace the truth. Hopefully that makes sense, all right? So the answer to the how question is we must continuously practice thinking in the fourth dimension, regardless of how weighty the facts might be, all right? And the challenge for us is that actuality is often so delicious, so tempting, so demanding. You get what I'm saying? You know, it's just right in our face that we just can't help, but, you know, it's right positive in our face. We just can't resist taking a mental, emotional bite out of it, you know, even when we know that it's not good for us. And so what I'm saying about taking a mental, emotional bite out of it is that you become so consumed with it that you cannot get yourself back to the truth, okay? You can't get yourself back into the kingdom of heaven consciousness. So for those of us who have been studying truth for a long time, the present challenges in the world are giving us the opportunity to practice with the big boys. You know, what I mean by that is the great cosmic thinkers, the ones who have, done the practice and have moved into that fourth dimensional thinking process. So we're given that chance now to practice with the big boys. And it's not a matter of choosing which challenge you want to take on. Now listen carefully. Not a matter of choosing what challenge you want to take on, because all of the chaos in the world right now only requires one level of consciousness to deal with it. And that level is Christ consciousness. Because if you're operating in Christ consciousness, all of these things will not have the effect on you that they might be having right now. And the Holy Spirit is standing by. You say, well, I don't know, that's a lot of work. But the Holy Spirit is standing by, ready to help us to get there. You know? Now just remember, truth is the only true reality. All actuality, the material world that impacts our lives, is based on how effectively we allow truth to guide us and teach us and heal us and enlighten us. So if we could commit ourselves to diligently contemplate and meditate on truth, we would find it almost almost through osmosis, right? That was the word I was trying to get through. Almost through osmosis, okay, our thinking, our beliefs would change. Now, from a spiritual perspective, think of the word of osmosis. It means something flowing through a barrier into a space that contains a low level of spiritual awareness. All right. So through this prayer, meditation, and all that we're going through, what we're doing is we're trying to break through that barrier. We've called it a veil in the past. We break through that barrier, from that the reasoning that's between the reasoning mind and the mind of realization. You know, right? And so you keep working with it, and you through osmosis will begin to break through that barrier. Now, quoting from Science of Mind magazine, Ernest Holmes says, "The highest mental practice is to listen for the inner voice and declare its presence. A constant realization, of the presence of spirit will provide a sense of divine companionship that no other state of mind could produce." And I'm going to end now with, I actually combined from the Science of Mind magazine, Thursday and Fridays, Thursday the 12th and Friday the 13th, I combine those two affirmations together. Okay. And it says, "I am inherently worthy simply by virtue of being filled with God life. I honor my worth, and I live a life worthy of the divine presence shining within me." And so it is. All right. Amen. And now we will have meditation with Pamela.
So early this week, we had Veterans Day, and so today I would like to present a prayer in honor of our veterans. So let's find that comfortable space right where you are. And let's be in communion with Spirit. Now you may close your eyes if you desire, and take in a deep cleansing breath, and then exhale that breath. Breathing comfortably now, we prepare for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the men and women who have served in our armed forces. We are grateful for their dedication, discipline, faithfulness, and courage. From them, may we learn the virtues of selfless service, unswerving loyalty to country, the discipline of teamwork for the good of all, and perseverance in difficult and challenging situations. Bless the families of our veterans for the sacrifices made on the home front when duty called their loved ones away to serve. Following their military service, give each of our veterans meaningful employment where they can enrich our workplaces and communities with their strong leadership skills, their self-discipline, and their hearts for service. We pray that you will provide your care and healing power for our veterans who carry physical and mental wounds from their days of service. And we lift up to your care those families who have lost a member of our armed forces in the line of duty. May your constant presence and help be theirs. We pray that as the days progress, we will continue to express to our veterans our gratitude for their service to us. Keep our service men and women strong and determined. And now let's make that journey to the secret place of the Most High, a place of peace, love, joy, and faith. So as we move towards that doorway, remember that before we can enter, we must become empty. So if there is mental and emotional baggage, or even physical baggage, that is no longer serving you, allow them to fall away. And so step through the door, take a seat, and get prepared for communion with Spirit. Use this precious time to pray, receive answers to your prayers, and to be still. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've heard our prayers this morning and you've answered them as you always do. And we do thank you for our veterans. And we look forward to the day when peace will rule in all hearts and minds, and when the bearing of arms to protect our citizens will no longer be necessary. We pray now in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is. Amen. And when you are ready, come back to your surroundings, and today be a blessing in someone's life, and in turn you will be blessed. Amen.
Thank you, hon. That was beautiful. You can hear the heat just came on.
Yeah.
You don't know how long we had to wait because our neighbors on both sides were blowing leaves and all kinds of noise was going on. Anyway, this is a time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. And we continue to say thank you, thank you, thank you for all the wonderful donations that you are sending to support us in this. I guess as we can see, from you've been watching the news from, you know, how this COVID-19 is moving. It'll be, you know, sometime into next year before we can even think about coming back together. Pam just got the word that her class at the college, her boss is saying, don't even think about coming back on campus until 2022. So I don't think it'll be that long for us, but you know, it's a lot going on out there that means that this is the way we're gonna be for quite some time now. So I just say that to say how much we appreciate you continuing to support your spiritual home, our spiritual community together as we go through this time. And let's just say our affirmation together. Offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen.
And now we will have we'll bless the path that we each will walk this week. We'll say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful.
All right. Okay. Do we want to end with our... Why don't you do light notes?
Yes,
you can still do.
Go ahead. All right, here are the light notes for today, Sunday, November the 15th. On Sunday, November the 22nd, the Book Light Book Club will be discussing the book Return to Love by Mary Ann Williamson. Please join the group from 1 to 3 p.m. Sherry Lumpkin and Chanel Smith will be presenting a healing workshop on Sunday, December the 6th from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. This workshop will have a doll-making ritual included, so we ask that you please register by the 23rd of November so we may purchase the necessary materials. Would you be interested in a virtual Christmas Eve candle lighting service on Thursday, December the 24th? Please let April know if you would like to be a reader for this service.
Okay. All right, so we have blessed the path now?
We did it? Yes, we did.
Okay.
We did it. Well, a little bit out of order, but we did it.
All right, well, let's do our
prayer
for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. Well, it's been our pleasure to bring this service to you. We're glad we had the least amount of noise going on in the background.
Yeah.
But we look forward to seeing you in Zoom. If you have not been in Zoom, please join us. And there you get a chance to have a discussion about the lesson. If you had questions, hear some great music, and just, you know, fellowship with your other Unitics, your Unity family.
All right, so we'll see you in a little while.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.